All right, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We've read the scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be with us as we study His word. Lord, I'm just so grateful for what You're doing in our lives, that we can praise You in the midst of any struggle or hardship that we're having, that we can rely on You for Your grace, regardless of our circumstances, just like Hannah did. Lord, I pray that You would help us to glean some principles of life as we study a wonderful mom. And I pray that You would help us to see what a wonderful God You are, even in the midst of difficult situations. And I pray that You would help us to see that as we trust in You, Father, You will work everything out for Your honor and our good and Your glory. We love You, Jesus. We love what You're doing for us. We love what You have done for us. And it's in Your name I pray. Amen. There's a recent Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. Calvin is standing by his mother's bed when he says, "Hey, Mom, wake up! I made you a Mother's Day card." His mother was very pleased and started to read it out loud. Here's what it said. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of red and pink, of pink and red. But then I thought I'd rather spend the money instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I've said it, now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing some breakfast for your son?" Oh, boy. It kind of shows how hard it is to be a mom, doesn't it? And to see the struggles you go through, feeling unappreciated, having to deal with kids that aren't so mature and having to deal with certain things. But I want you to understand something. Although it is hard, it's not easy being a mom. But it is extremely important in God's created order. The role of a mom is extremely important in God's created order. President Roosevelt put it this way: "When all is said, it is the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. It is she who is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." Roosevelt was right. For mothers are indeed the most important, the most powerful people in the world, for they are the ones, more than anyone else, who mold us in our most moldable years. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that as a culture. We need to understand that as Christians. Moms, you have a great role and a great task. And don't let anyone demean that role in your eyes. It is very important that moms be cherished for their role. And it is very important for us to see the importance of their role. It is something that will shape the next generation. And I feel as though it's very important for us to learn from other godly moms what it takes to be a godly mom. And what the traits of a godly mom are. And we have some godly, wonderful wives in our church and moms. And one thing I don't want to do in looking at Hannah is set up some ideal picture of a mom that makes it seem like it's unattainable for you. Okay? I want you to understand that like Hannah, God understands your circumstances. He doesn't only understand your circumstances, but He has allowed your circumstances and put you in your circumstances for a reason. That's hard for us to understand sometimes, but I want you to see that this is not a sermon about how you should be a perfect mom. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a sermon about how God's grace can work in your life as you strive to be a good mom. Okay? And that's what I want us to think about as we study Hannah. She was a wonderful woman who had great faith in the Lord in a time when society was very wicked. Now, I want you to understand something. This was the time in between the judges. Well, it was during the end time of the judges and just before a king would be set up in the kingdom of Israel. What was going on during this time, was, we are told from Judges, was that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Kind of like our society today, right? And so it was a very hard society for you to be a godly woman in, for you to be someone that really wanted to do right. And so we understand that this was going on and that there was a lot of sociological pressures put on moms at this time. Not only that, it was a time where the culture of the day, although not endorsed by God in any way, shape, or form, was allowing polygamy. And it was creating family situations that were much less than ideal. And so we have here in Hannah someone who is struggling to be godly in a wicked society, and not only that, struggling to be a good godly person in a family situation that was less than ideal. And so as we look at this passage, I want us to understand what godly moms face in their lives and what a godly mom looks like, even in a society like ours. Okay? First of all, I want us to understand godly moms are faced with real problems. Godly moms are faced with real problems. Hannah is in a relationship where, like I said, she's stuck in a relationship where she is not her husband's only woman. This is a very difficult situation. Can you imagine having to share your husband and his love with someone else, another woman? And this is something that was hard for her to do. This family setup was not ideal. It caused a lot of struggles internally in Hannah's heart. And it caused a lot of struggles in her family as well. We see that she was constantly being berated by what was called her rival. Her rival, Penaniah. She was constantly having to have this struggle for the affection and love of her husband, and for a place of identity in her family structure, because there was something else, a real problem that Hannah had to face. That problem was that she couldn't have any children of her own. It was a hardship. It was a real problem. And she was tormented by her rival Penaniah every year. Year after year, as they would go to the tabernacle, it would remind Hannah of her situation. And Penaniah made sure that she understood that she was, should be ashamed of what her situation was. It was a sad kind of situation where Penaniah would go to the house of the Lord. She'd try and worship the Lord. She's trying to worship the Lord in this, and she's got this struggle, and she's struggling, and then she's got people saying, "I've got kids. You don't. You must be cursed by God. You're not blessed by God." And it was real hard for her. Can you imagine going year after year to the temple and saying, "Why, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why is it that others are blessed by you, but not me?" You ever been in that situation where you thought that? Why is it that others are being blessed, but not me? Why did you allow this to happen to me, God? It's a painful place to be. And that's the place that we find Hannah in. A painful place. A place of spiritual discouragement. A place where she was struggling in her life. And the family pressures were so great that it brought about some very difficult emotions. She was tormented because of this struggle. But I want you to understand something about this struggle. It was brought on by the Lord. That's the hard part for us to understand sometimes. It was actually brought on by God. We're told in, I think, verse 6, that the Lord had closed up her womb. The Lord had brought this upon her. The Lord, for some reason, and we find out some of the reasons later on in this passage, but for some reason, God had allowed this to happen. And you know, even though we don't understand why hardships and struggles come in our lives, we need to understand that they come from the Lord. And sometimes we want to blame the devil. The devil had nothing to do with this. Sometimes we want to blame ourselves. But I want you to remember here, it had nothing to do with Hannah either. Hannah was a godly woman. Okay? Penaniah was the one who wasn't so godly, right? Or else she wouldn't be tormenting Hannah. Okay? So it's funny, as you read through the Bible, the women who had this struggle were godly women. And the women that didn't have this struggle with having children usually turned out to be the ones that weren't so godly. And so, I want us to see something. When I face struggles, the first thing that pops up into my mind, one of the first things that pops up into my mind is, this is my fault. This is my fault. I've done something wrong. This is my fault. There's something I need to do to get right. And that's not necessarily true. Now, sometimes it might be my fault. Okay? Maybe I did something stupid and now I'm paying the consequences. But a lot of times, especially if you're trying to serve the Lord, God knows your heart. You say, "God, I'm trying to serve you." And that's what Hannah said. "God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm being faithful to you. But I feel like I'm being cursed. I'm being punished." But she wasn't being punished. This was all part of God's design. For her good, and for God's glory, and for the nation of Israel's good, and ultimately for our good. And that's what we need to see here. We need to see that the problems that we are facing today are not here because of some random acts. They're not here in our lives because of something necessarily that we did and God's trying to punish us. We need to get away from that thought. It's not here because of the devil necessarily. It's here because God wants it to be here. God wants us to go through certain struggles and trials for a purpose. Now, I know that might not be a thought that encourages you right now because you're struggling, but I hope it will, because here's what we need to see. We need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We need to see that God is with us and that He does have a plan and that He is going to work out our problems and struggles right now for His for our good, for His glory, and for the good of others. Even as you look at your family, you may be looking at your family and thinking, Lord, what? Thank you. Lord, what's going on? What's going on in my family? Why are things not the way they should be? Remember, God is going to work in your family as well. And He is working in your family. And although you can't understand how all the mess of your family is going to work out for His glory, it will. Okay? When Hannah looked at the mess of her family, she probably wondered, how in the world is God going to use all this for His glory? But He did, didn't He? And that's what He'll do in your family. You see, Hannah didn't have a perfect situation. She didn't have an ideal family situation. She was faced with real problems. But she was able to allow the Lord to work them out, and God did work them out. Remember this. Ecclesiastes 7:14 puts it well. The Bible says, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. You see, a lot of times we forget about that. We forget that God actually not only creates good times in our lives, but creates struggles and hardships in our lives so that we might be better off for it. And that's what we see in Hannah's family. And that's what you'll see in your family. Moms, you've got a lot of struggles when rearing children and facing all the difficulties and trials, the testings of your children. But I promise you, God is in those, and He is going to work them out for your good and His glory. Not only that, godly moms go to God for deliverance. Godly moms go to God for deliverance. We see here Hannah. She doesn't look for another way to be released from this problem that she's having other than going to God in prayer. We see her go to God and say, Lord, please, please, Lord, deliver me from this problem, from this struggle that I am faced with year after year. Please, Lord, show me that You will work this out. Show me Your hand, Lord. And, of course, we see God do something in her life. We see Him answer. Psalm 119:71 says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn Your decrees. You see, she went to God with her problems. Oftentimes we don't do that. Oftentimes we look to our husband to help us with our problems, and we find that he is utterly useless in helping us. Like Hannah did, right? Here's what happened. Elkanah saw that Hannah was struggling. He completely misunderstood her feelings and what she was dealing with. And it's obvious from the passage. He says, "Oh, is my love not good enough, even better than 10 sons? No, it's not." He completely misunderstood his relationship with his wife, okay? And hey, I'm in that crowd, and I think every man is in that crowd. Any man that tells you he completely understands women and what they go through and the feelings and the struggles that they face, they are clueless, okay? That's just the way it is, okay? And so here's a husband who doesn't understand. Moms, you can't look to your husbands for the spiritual and emotional support that you're looking for. However, dads, husbands, you can offer the same thing that Elkanah did. He loved Hannah. He loved Hannah. And you know what? That's what we can offer. We may not understand what our wives are going through, but we can still love them. And that's what we need to do. We need to love them. We need to cherish them. We see that Elkanah did that. He loved them and cherished Hannah in spite of the fact that he was clueless. Okay? And so that's okay. That's what we need to do. And husbands, please, love your wives. Love them. When they break down and they cry and they're struggling and you say, "Well, what's the matter?" and you don't understand, just love them. Just love them. And I think that'll help. Because the deliverance they need has to come from the Lord. The deliverance they need, the spiritual strength that they need, the grace that they need to accomplish raising children in a wicked society in a godly way, can only come from Jesus Christ. It can only come from Him. And so we need to not only love them, but pray that the Lord would give them that grace. Because that's my third point. Godly women experience God's grace. Godly women experience God's grace. Let me tell you something. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins and for eternal life and for life right now, God gives you special grace. He gives you grace to get through the struggles of life and ultimate deliverance. Now, Hannah was experiencing God's grace for a long time before she actually had Samuel. Think about that for a minute. Year after year, we're told. Year after year. Years went by, and she's struggling with this problem, this difficulty in her life, facing the hardships and facing the criticisms and all that comes along with it, having this internal struggle with shame in her heart, thinking that she might not be doing something right in the eyes of God. But God gave her grace through all of that. You see, God's grace sustains us in the trials, in the struggles, in the difficulties. That's what we see happening in Hannah. We don't see just a deliverance as God's grace. We see the supernatural strengthening of Hannah through the trials that she is facing. And that's what God offers us when we trust in Christ as our Savior. A grace that helps us excuse me, through the trials and difficulties of life. You can experience this grace in God. You can. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you cry out to Him and look to Him and Him alone for your deliverance, He will give you that grace. He will give you that grace to be strengthened even though you're facing the problems and you're in the midst of a storm in your life. And He will give you grace by ultimately delivering you from those storms as well. That is the wonderful grace that we have in Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to rely on. That is what we need to understand. We're relying on our relationship with God and His promises and being faithful to those promises. He is faithful. And so we can be faithful. We can be faithful because we know He is faithful. And that's another thing we see about Hannah. Hannah was faithful. Hannah didn't say, I'm not going to the temple this year. I'm not going. I'm in a bad place. I'm not going to have anything to do with church. I'm not going to have anything to do with things right now. I'm just in a bad place, and I want to just wallow in my grief. I want to wallow in the darkness. No, that's not what she did. She didn't do that. And many times when we're faced with struggles, that's where we go, and that's the opposite of where we should go. It's in those times of struggle where we should be reaching out to God and clinging to God even more in our lives and wanting to be in His house and be with Him as much as we possibly can. Because that's where His grace comes from. And that's where we find His promises fulfilled. Hannah was a woman who was faithful to her commitment. Think about that for a minute. She cries out to God, and in her cry, she says, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will dedicate him to you, and I will do everything in my power to make sure he serves you all the days of his life. And she even dedicates him to a Nazarite vow where he wouldn't have his hair cut, where he would just be totally dedicated to the Lord. Okay? Now, this took some commitment on the part of Hannah, didn't it? But godly moms are committed to seeing their kids serve the Lord. And that's something we see in Hannah. And that's something we need, moms. We need you to be committed to raising your children to serve the Lord. Think about Hannah's situation for a minute. She's got one son. She's got one son. Do you not think that she was tempted to cling on to him, to hold on to him? To not want to give him to the Lord? Absolutely. I guarantee you there was that temptation. To keep him for herself. But she didn't do that. She didn't do that. She fulfilled her promise to God. And she dedicated Samuel to the service of the Lord. What a wonderful lady. What a wonderful woman. She made sure that she did what God wanted her to do, and she kept her commitment to the Lord. You know, a committed mom, someone who is committed and faithful to the Lord, is, in my mind, the biggest influence on children turning out to live for the Lord. In my mind, I think that is the biggest influence on earth. Of course, God is the one who works in the heart of man. We understand that. But the biggest influence on our children to see them become godly is moms. And I really believe that. John Stiles wrote this poem. He said, I have worshiped in churches and chapels. I have prayed in the busy street. I have sought my God and have found Him in the waves of His ocean beat. I have knelt in the silent forest in the shade of some ancient tree, but the dearest of my altars was at my mother's knee. God, make me the man of her vision and purge me of selfishness. God, keep me true to her standards and help me to live to bless. God, hallow the holy impress of the days that used to be, and keep me a pilgrim forever to the shrine at my mother's knee. You see the influence that his mom had on her? There is big influence, Mom, for you to affect the kingdom of God. For you to affect the kingdom of God through your children. Just think about what happened when Hannah committed her son to the Lord. Samuel became one of the greatest men in the history of the world. Between Moses and David, there is no more significant figure in the Bible than Samuel. Samuel was the prophet and guide to the very first two kings of Israel. During his time, the nation of Israel turned from their wicked ways and began to worship God again. During his time, they were able to defeat the Philistines. So this was a time where God used Samuel in a great way to have an eternal impact in the kingdom of God. And that's what happens when moms dedicate themselves to bringing up children that will serve the Lord. There is an eternal impact on God's kingdom when you do that, Mom.